we have to start thinking in those terms. I mean, if housing is a human right, then there is a moral obligation to house people. So it is morally wrong for a person to sleep on the street at night in front of a vacant building while that building is blocked or barricaded by a landlord who's keeping it merely empty for speculation and profit. My name is Rob Robinson. I'm with an organization here in New York called Picture the Homeless. We're located in the Bronx, New York, and I'm a board member and a housing campaign leader with that organization. Picture the Homeless is an organization made up of homeless or formerly homeless individuals that educate those individuals to have a voice for themselves, to change the policies that affect them in a negative way, and to be part of a process that's participatory. In other words, to have a voice on the decision-making that impacts us the most. Well, most of the work that Picture the Homeless does in New York is based on the moral obligation that our government has to house people. So in New York, while there is a shelter infrastructure in place to house homeless people, we would argue that it's only temporary housing, and our city spends $750 million a year on that shelter system to temporarily house people. We also would argue that with the large numbers of empty buildings that exist in New York City, there's a moral obligation, or the moral obligation to house people in those buildings supersedes the right of landlords to profit from those buildings. And in this city, we see a lot of property being warehoused by greedy landlords who are trying to profit from those vacant properties. Homeless folks at Picture the Homeless have created legislation which we call the anti-warehousing legislation, which had 8 key points in it. One of the biggest being we would force the city to do a count of vacant properties within the city on an annual basis. And as landlords would repeatedly show up on that list, eventually they'd be fined for keeping buildings empty for long periods of time. And that original piece of legislation that we had would have forced landlords to eventually put those buildings in a homeless and housing trust fund to create housing specifically for homeless people.
The land trust measure proved difficult to get through politically, but Picture the Homeless did organize another piece of legislation that includes the vacant housing census, and that law is working its way through the New York City Council.
So that's one attempt, but at the same time, while you're getting city council members to sort of move on legislation, I also feel, and some members of the organization, that we need to ramp it up. So coming back with that, we moved on a building here in New York in March 19th of 2009, and took over a building for a weekend on 116th Street and Madison Avenue, and it was the first time it had been done in New York City for about 20, 30 years, so it energized the city. We moved on that building with about 250 allies, so we made a presence on that corner, and we made it difficult for the New York City police to move on us, and we basically had possession of that building for an entire weekend. Following that, we moved on a piece of property in July that was owned by J.P. Morgan Chase, one of the banks that received TARP money. And our angle there was, here's a bank that has significant pieces of vacant property in New York City and received a government buyout, but at the same time they're foreclosing on us and putting us out of homes. So again, here comes moral obligations. There's something morally wrong with that, we feel. If you're taking our tax money and you're bailing out a bank, why is it okay for us to fail and not the banks to fail? So we have a problem with a bank that received TARP money foreclosing on members of society and putting us out on the street. So we took that piece of property as a stand to say we're not going to tolerate it anymore. We made a public fight with J.P. Morgan Chase, of which they wanted no parts of. We held on to that piece of property pretty much throughout the day before New York City police moved in and arrested 10 of us, myself included, and 2 Episcopal priests were part of that group. But in October, when we were brought to court, we found out that J.P. Morgan Chase would not cooperate with the ADA, with the assistant district attorney, and we were told not to even come in the courtroom. Case is dismissed. Don't even come in the courtroom. Tell them to go home. So we learned then that they don't want to deal with us publicly. So we decided to ramp it up. We did public actions in front of 270 Park Avenue, which is the main headquarters for J.P. Morgan Chase.
They're also organizing a divestment campaign, getting individuals and organizations to let JPMorgan Chase know that they will close out their accounts unless they start working with Picture the Homeless. That initiative has gained a lot of support, especially from faith communities. On a national level, organizers from Picture the Homeless have been working as a part of the Take Back the Land initiative and other coalitions, building towards mass-scale move-ins and property takeovers. I asked him where he saw that campaign going.
What we will do is take the civil disobedience to force those conversations. We've formed strategic partnerships with the Center for Constitutional Rights, National Economic and Social Rights Initiative, NESRI, and the National Law Center on Homelessness and Poverty to be the voice for us, or the spokespeople for the policy chain. And we'll just ramp it up. And hopefully the second phase would be the policy discussions, and then we think a third phase would be what we call alternative structures. If we're successful at forcing the issue, maybe a JPMorgan Chase says, I surrender, and here's a bunch of land, take back the land, you guys do what you want with it. Well, you know, we're not developers, but we have partnered with some groups that figured some things out, like land trusts, so that we can take land and keep it truly affordable and put poor people on it, and it makes sense, and you can't take it back from us. You know, the ultimate goal that we would love to get at is to decommodify housing, because that's where the problem lies. You take the value out of housing and land, and this problem of homelessness goes away. Land is driving class in this country. It's a true division of class, or a division along those lines. And once we decommodify housing and land, we've gone a long way to solve this problem.
This has been Dan Jones for On Blast Radio with the Philadelphia Student Union.